Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, don't you see? Now that's a prayer that many people have breathed out through a veil of tears. Lord, don't you see? The Psalms are filled with men making pleas like that. And I'm sure in our modern day world, there have been many people who have prayed that prayer. Lord, don't you see? Maybe some of you, because of things going on in your life, you have prayed that prayer. I was thinking of some of the things that are going on around the world and how many times God must have heard that prayer, Lord, don't you see? Think of people in Ukraine and other parts of the world where their countries have been torn apart by war, buildings and homes demolished, going without food and water. Lord, don't you see? With all the difficulties there in Palestine and Israel and with people taken hostage and war going on, people crying out for help. Lord, don't you see? Don't you see the pain that we're in and that we're under? Christians being killed by the thousands in Nigeria, upholding the faith, presenting themselves as believers in the Lord, yet being persecuted sorely. I'm sure they have prayed, Lord, don't you see? And in our text, we have the story of a people who also prayed that prayer. Moses and his fellow countrymen. They were in a situation where they were slaves, as you know, in a country, with bitter taskmasters, being whipped, people dying under the whip, having forced labor, difficult situations. No doubt they had the question on their minds. We're your chosen people. Lord, don't you see? And so Moses has that famed meeting with the Lord his God. And God doesn't wait for Moses to ask the question, don't you see? Now God heads him off at the pass and speaks directly to Moses, and one of the questions that was on Moses' mind as well as all of his fellow countrymen. And God says to him, I have surely seen. Yes, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries. I know how they suffer. And for those of you here today who have thought in your heart, God, don't you see? God would say to you today as well, oh, I have surely seen the sufferings and the hardships that you have endured. Psalm 145 says that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, and he hears their cries, and he saves them. Psalm 50 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you then will glorify me. Ours is the God who hears our prayers, and he not only hears, but he does come to deliver. And so in the text he says, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So nice words, the Lord hears, and he will most certainly deliver and save. Question is, when? When? You have perhaps cried out to God and said, I'm hurt and I'm struggling and I'm filled with fear and I'm called upon you in the day of my trouble. And you have promised that you will deliver me. When? We know that nothing is beyond our God's ability to redeem, to save, to change, to alter, to rescue, to resurrect, or to make new. And he is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. We know our God is able. For the Israelites in our story, the day was drawing near when finally they would see their redemption, their salvation, them being set free. And so God is speaking with Moses in order to initiate that process and to bring that about. I was struck by the contrast in the story that I read to you from the Old Testament. The contrast between Moses and what he knew versus God and what he knew. If you go back through the narrative and take a look at what Moses knew, here are some of the things that I note about him. Well, he sees a burning bush, but he doesn't know why it's burning, or more importantly, why it's not being consumed. He doesn't understand. This is a novelty. This is something peculiar. But he's not understanding what he is seeing with his own eyes. I see Moses being afraid, as we are told that he hid his face and didn't dare to look. I hear inadequacy in Moses as he, what he knows and what he sees is that he's just a mortal man who is limited. And he says, "Who am I?" I see Moses in his limitation of not even fully knowing his God. What name should I give to the people about you? Who are you? There's a lot that Moses doesn't see or understand, isn't there? Much like you and I as in our human life. There are many things we don't understand when we're crying out to God. We don't see all the things that God sees. When I switch in the narrative over to God and what it is that he saw and what he understood, I see things like this. He saw Moses turn aside, we are told. Why? Because he is the God who sees, who does see, who does understand, who does get it, who watches his children very closely. He's watching Moses just even as he's walking along, and he sees him turn aside. God sees and understands that this is a holy moment. This is holy ground. For Moses, it was a confusing novelty of a moment with things he didn't understand and get. But God understood that he himself was present here with him in this moment. And so this was a very sacred moment. God saw and understood the great line of human history. God not only saw Moses, but he had seen his fathers and their fathers and everyone before him, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the affliction of his people in Egypt, and he heard their cries. And God looked forward into the future to his answer to their cry, a land that is good, flowing with milk and honey, and how he would bring his people to that land, and they would serve him on that very mountain. We are in our limited sight situations. There's much we don't understand in our life. And we cry out to God. And in our insecurities, we want to say, "God, don't you see?" And he says to us, "I see. I know very well your struggles and the things that scare you, and the scars that are upon your body, and the scars that are upon your soul. And I will come and deliver you and save you. And I will bring you to a good land, to a paradise, to a kingdom. And here you will be with me and serve me in this place." And we would say, "When?" You know very well the story. You have all heard it. It was a Friday. It was a Friday when, as God had long foreknew and ordained, his son would be betrayed. And so Jesus was dragged from one mock trial to another and taken before Pontius Pilate, who gave the final word, the sentence of death. And so Jesus was presented before the soldiers, where they whipped him and spit him and cursed him and made fun of him. That was on a Friday. But Sunday was coming. And it was on a Friday when they would strip him naked before the multitudes, make him drag across his own instrument of death outside the city. And they would throw him down upon the cross, and they would take nails, and they would pound them into his hands, into his feet, and a crown of thorns would be placed upon his head. And that was Friday. But Sunday was coming. They would stand at the foot of his cross and mock him. And they would offer him vinegar mixed with gall to drink. And the people derided him down below. And some who hung next to him cursed him. And no doubt the demons and Satan himself were there in that moment to see Jesus wrought with pain and rejoice in the moment. That was Friday. Sunday was coming. And he cried out and he breathed his last. And a spear pierced his side and blood and water flowed. Rocks were split. There was an earthquake. Darkness covered the land. And his lifeless body was hurriedly taken down from the cross and taken to a tomb and laid there. And that was on a Friday. But Sunday was coming. You and I are people of the resurrection. We are the people of Sunday. And just as Jesus, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't you see, Father? Still, to the Son of God, there would come a Sunday. There would come a resurrection when death could not hold him and everything would change. You and I are people of the resurrection. Jesus shares in our death, in our sorrows, in our sufferings, that we might be a part of and share in his resurrection. And if you have cried out to God and said, don't you see, Father? It's into your hands I'm commending my life. I'm crying out to you, help me. And you have not seen your salvation. You have not seen your redemption. You have not seen your being saved. It's only because it's Friday. Your Sunday is coming. Because our God is faithful and true to his promises. He does see your afflictions. He knows your pains and your sorrows. He knows the things that make you unsettled and that scare you and that occupy your mind so you don't sleep at night. And knowing all of this, he sends a messenger such as me, just as he sent Moses in his day, to say to you, I have surely seen your afflictions and your heartaches, and your sorrows. I have also seen the day when I make all things new for you, and how you will rejoice, and how you will serve me in a good land, in a good time, in a good place. Such is the God that you and I worship and know. Not a God who's punitive, not a God who is harsh, not a God who is distant and far removed and has no idea what's going on in our life. No, we have a God who loves us with an everlasting love, who calls us by name, who even knit us together in our mother's womb and fashioned every one of our days, and knew every one of our days upon this earth, even the very last day when we would take our last breath. He has seen it all. And he has loved us and continues to love us, to hold us in his hands, to prepare a future for us, a day and a time of a resurrection, when your tears will be wiped away, when death is no more, when a time of sorrow is replaced with a time of great gladness and joy, as he makes all things new. That is the God that is our own. The God who sees, the God who loves, and the God who gives us a future. So during this time of waiting, and that you are crying out, please know, this is only Friday. Sunday is coming. Amen.